Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you. Thanks to Jason Wilde for joining us on the England Guest Hotline. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Though I will say, and I said this last week, the NFL draft just makes me really itch for football. And we're not going to have football for several months. Still about 2.5 months away. Yeah, 2.5 months away from the start of training camp, the end of July. Hopefully it flies by. But I miss my Sundays being filled with NFL football from noon until 11 p.m.
Yeah, the Bucs didn't give us a first-round exit this year, so we don't have any sadness to
bask in. I've enjoyed watching the Brewers. Watched a lot of Brewers baseball recently.
I've been so sick. I haven't been in. I've just been literally laying down, going to bed.
They're a fun team. They just can't catch a break in the injury front.
Yeah, yesterday, the Miz, so what happened? Cramps?
Last Friday, yeah. That's what we assume.
Miz was Friday?
Yeah.
Who pitched yesterday?
Harrison.
Oh, wow. Shows you I just been out of it.
Yeah, clearly. So Thursday was Woody. Friday night was Miz. Back-to-back nights with the Brewers starting pitcher exiting the game with, I want to say injury adjacent, because a cramp and a dead arm doesn't really qualify, I guess.
Dead arm and cramps. Give me cramps.
But Friday night's game, Mizorowski had a no-hit bid going before he exited the game, and they were unable to pull off the combined no-hitter, but a combined two-hitter as Aaron Ashby goes 2 2/3 innings, gives up both the hits, and then it was Easton McGee. Who came in to close the game. He's a pitcher that's bounced back and forth a lot this year.
Okay.
And it wasn't a save opportunity, so they didn't throw Uribe out there. But Easton McGee has been optioned back this morning to AAA Nashville as they bring Logan Henderson back up.
Yeah, to start today.
Yeah. So, hey, a win's a win, and the Brewers have been winning 17-14, so you'll take that. Expected to get Jackson Churio back tomorrow. Expected to get Andrew Vaughn back tomorrow.
So is he still coming back despite having a ball hit off his foot yesterday and exiting the game? Was that just precautionary?
I am unaware, but as far as I'm aware, I know he was posting about it, but you're right, that did happen yesterday, so that could change things, but I would hope not. As the Brewers have won 3 in a row now with a series finale out in Washington, D.C. coming up in about an hour and a half, 12:35 first pitch.
I just want to get more NL games coming up. Now we got the Cardinals coming up here. So I just want to get more of these NL games in the NL Central.
NL Central games, that is, yeah. St. Louis is coming up, Chicago in a couple of weeks, Monday the 18th through Wednesday the 20th, down at Wrigley. And then that right after that series is the Dodgers. It's the Cubs and Dodgers back-to-back.
Yeah.
And then you get the Cardinals again right after that. So, Getting some NL Central work in here before the end of the month, which is good. But let's get back to the Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur, because it seems like most people actually disagreeing with me than agreeing with me on Matt LaFleur. Steve on the text line says, come on, Strofe, stop being such a homer. This Packers team has few players that are difference makers, a coach that's soft, and a GM that drafts few, if any, great players. Titletown has become entitled town. Stop accepting mediocrity and start demanding excellence. Steve Owen, SoCal. Steve, I agree with you in terms of some of those points. I think the this isn't accepting mediocrity. Accepting mediocrity would be missing the play. Like, they are making the playoffs. It's been a playoff team 3 years in a row in a new era, right? They started from scratch at the end of the Aaron Rodgers era after they missed the playoffs. Jordan Love has never missed the playoffs as the starting quarterback of this team. Now, was last year underwhelming post-Micah Parsons injury? Of course. But you talk about few players that are difference makers. And again, I hate making excuses, but this is the one year where I think if you look at injuries, it was a true difference maker. When you lose your best offensive lineman in Zach Tom, you lose your best pass-catching option in Tucker Kraft, and you lose by far your best player in Micah Parsons. He is the true field tilter on this team. He is the best player on this team, Micah Parsons, and he went down in Week 14. You were the second seed in the NFC when he went down.
Bro,
you were winning at halftime in that game in Denver that Kyle was at.
No, you're missing also. You lost your best two defensive linemen. How many teams can lose their top two defensive linemen and actually make a run? Devontae Wyatt was clearly the number two defensive lineman for this team.
Like, and he was having another good season when he went down.
Yeah, so you lost quite a bit because in a team that already didn't have great depth, you had guys like Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary who weren't living up to the expectations that were bestowed upon them. And so when you had the two guys, the only two guys that are living up to expectations, that's a problem.
Here's Tony on the text line. And I see we got some calls rolling in, so if you want to get in that way, 800-990-3776. Matt says, totally agree with your take on Matt LaFleur. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Being self-aware enough to make a change is the right move, even if it does not end in results. Well, it better end in results or else it didn't work. Tony chimes in. It's put up or shut up time. LaFleur needs to be more clutch and demand his players to be more clutch. One playoff win in 4 years is not enough. Knocked out twice at home in the playoffs is the one seed with the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Nobody cares about injuries. Just win, baby. Quoting Al Davis there, of course. Yeah, that's fair. The injury part, it's definitely prevalent this year, but of course you could say, well, they were the most injured team in football last time they won the Super Bowl, which is also true, but at least they had a lot of their clutch players, if we want to use that word. Woodson goes down in the Super Bowl, but Woodson and Jordy and Rodgers were all healthy, but they pieced together a fine offensive line, including our buddy Brian Bulaga, who had to step in for Tausche. You got James
Starks. First-round pick stepping in.
Right. The youngest player ever to start in the Super Bowl. All right, let's go to Gary. Gary drives semi-truck. Is that what that says? My call screener's down, but I think I can read it from the phone. Gary, is it? Gary, you're on Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Yeah. What do you got, Gary?
Yeah, how's it going, Meatball?
Long time no talk, Gary. How
I
you been?
Now, listen. I did not mean that in a negative way. Okay?
Okay,
anyways,
go on.
I don't think Green Bay is going to see a Super Bowl as long as LaFleur is the head coach, unless he really turns around and starts turning into a butt kicker, because there's too many times, there's been too many penalties, and the reporters ask him what's up with that, and he said, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's on you. Change it. And he hasn't changed it.
Joe Jackson. He wants to be Joe Jackson.
It's on me. It's on me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know who Joe Jackson is, Gary?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my daddy must have been his best friend because my daddy talked one time and I picked myself up off the floor.
Yep. See?
So that's
See?
The deal.
Well,
yes.
Gary, before we let you go, do you believe Matt LaFleur is capable of being said butt kicker? Do you think he has it in him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I honestly don't know.
So are you?
I'd like to think he does.
I same.
But you know.
So are you happy they brought him back? Are you happy he got the contract extension?
No.
Or would you have liked to see them move on?
No. No, I'd like to see them move on.
Okay. I
don't think it get. See if they could get somebody like Rex Ryan or Herm Edwards out of retirement. Hey, but if you think about it, if they could have pulled that off,
Gary,
look what they'd have had.
Gary,
come on,
Rex Ryan.
Look at the first two games.
Rex Ryan.
Look at the first two games last year with the defense. That's what they were capable of when they were worried about their jobs. But then when they saw they had a soft coach, they kind of slacked off. Yeah, they were still decent, but not like the first two games.
9-3-1, Gary. 9-3-1.
They could have been better. That one wouldn't have been a one if
that's true.
Should have been
10-3.
If you had a
that I agree
at
with
least.
You. I agree with you. All right, Gary. I appreciate the call as always. Good to talk to you, Meatball. Haven't talked to Gary in a while.
Yeah, you too. But
he's the man. One of the great laughs.
That's a Gary day. Laugh today.
One of the great laughs
in
sports talk radio is Gary, the semi truck driver.
I love what his daddy was talking about too. Your daddy need to do that to you.
No, so I got in school suspension once. I got a fight on the bus, and when he got that phone call, let's just say he was not thrilled.
Did you had to pick yourself off the floor?
I did have to pick myself up.
Good job.
Yeah.
Now, he should have did it when he saw you acting all stupid on the basketball court.
Now, my dad was like my biggest fan in basketball.
Well, your dad clearly doesn't know about ball.
He was not a hoops player. He's a tennis player. So he was never my coach.
When you say tennis player, you mean like he played tennis? Like, was he a varsity letter?
No, 4-year varsity letter. Had an offer to play in college, but went to, because he became a cop, he went to technical school instead.
Had an offer where?
It wasn't a big school. It might have been like Lakeland University or something like that. So it was somewhere in the area.
And how many Wisconsin kids went to his high school?
Well, it is no longer. I don't know if we could look that up. That school doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I always have to dig deep with you because you say things. He was a 4-year varsity letter. Yeah, a 4-year varsity letter when there's only a varsity
conference champ
game.
A couple of times. We went through some of his stuff at my grandpa's house. It was the last time he was in town, so probably over a year ago. But yeah, he was good. According to them, I mean, I wasn't alive, obviously, so I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Well, I can't question your father. You, on the other hand, I always.
Here you go. So the last time this high school was open, it had just under 600 students.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. Okay.
But it's been closed down for a while. It is now Two Rivers High School. It used to be Washington High School in Two Rivers, Wisconsin.
And Two Rivers High School is small.
It is smaller than it used to be, yes.
Okay. So competition might have been a little bit
scarce. It might have been. I don't know, man. He graduated high school. I got to do math now. In the late 80s.
Okay.
So 89, I think you would have graduated.
Oh, wow. You got young parents.
I mean,
my parents out of college by then.
Yeah. My mom's a few years older. But yeah.
Damn, my parents had my brother before that.
All right. More about LaFleur talk coming up next. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome all that's all with Gruber Law Offices. If you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, you know what to do. Contact Gruber Law Offices and they will take care of you. I remember I got rear-ended. My back was hurting. I contacted my insurance company. They gave me the runaround. I said, what am I doing? I contacted Gruber Law Offices and they took great care of me. You never pay a single penny. You never pay a single penny until they win your case. Get with the winning law firm that speaks for itself with all the great results that they have. Gruber Law Offices, that's one call, that's all. Call them today at 414-276-6666. That's 414-276-6666 or visit them at gruber-law.com. It is one call, that's all with Gruber Law Offices.
Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you until noon. A lot of discussion about the Packers' philosophy change, evolution, mindset shift, if you will, this offseason. Just some of the messaging seemingly different to me than it has been past seasons. And look,
not just messaging, man. I mean, the direct messaging, but then also the actions, right? Yeah. Like, even going back to the silo system that we thought existed where they went to the American Club, and they were talking about, you know, how they're all working hand in hand together, right? Like, that's exactly what we were told, is that when they came away, when Ed Policy came away from that, he said, yeah, I just wanted to make sure moving forward, everybody was aligned, right? And it, to me, this seems like a lot of alignment since then, does it not? Based off the signings, based off the draft picks, based off a need. Like, I think this organization is definitely aligned because all of a sudden you got two guys that you sign are either almost 30 or over 30.
Yeah, I'm with him. So I'm curious to see how this translates. But look, I know there's a lot of talk, and there has been since the playoff loss. It was an unacceptable loss, regardless of the injuries. That's not the excuse for that game. It can't be. That was a game the Packers failed to win. The defense couldn't stop a nosebleed in the second half, specifically the fourth quarter. They were gassed. The offense couldn't move the ball specifically in the third quarter. I don't think they had a single first down in the third quarter. Brandon McManus couldn't make a kick to save the season. There were a lot of issues in that game alone that are unrelated to the injuries that this team suffered prior. But that's the good news, right? They were in a position to win a playoff game despite all the injuries. And if you put Micah Parsons and Zach Tom and Devontae Wyatt and Tucker Kraft on the field this season, like, I have really high expectations for this team. So it's not just, hey, the evolution shift, the messaging is different, the what they're doing is different. That's great. I'm not happy with just that. I'm excited to see what it brings. But the expectation for the Green Bay Packers has to be Super Bowl or bust in 2026. And we should view everything through that lens throughout the 2026 season. So if they're not leading the division come week 11, they're underperforming. If they don't win the NFC North, that's a disappointment. That's an underperformance in 2026. Despite this being a very good division, the expectation has to be Green Bay has to win the NFC North. Chicago's playing a first-place schedule, and they caught a lot of really good breaks. And props to them. I think it was six come-from-behind wins in the fourth quarter.
Hell, two against us.
Right. It might have been seven, I guess, counting the playoff win. I think it was six in the regular season, seven total. And that is unheard of. It was an NFL record. It was very, very impressive. The reality is you can't expect that season every season, right? You can't just expect that that's the Chicago Bears identity as they play crap football for three quarters and then figure it out in the fourth. I expect them to be a good team again. I expect them probably to be in the playoff race again. Same with Detroit. I expect them to be a good team again. I expect them to be in the playoff race again. I'm very curious what Minnesota is because on paper they have a very good roster. But they were not able to figure out the quarterback position last year, and that ruined them. Is Kyler Murray set for a revival with Justin Jefferson at his disposal? And Jordan Addison, who they just picked the fifth-year option up on. So I think all four of these teams, again, could be winning teams. Minnesota was 9-8 last year. So, but all that said, the expectation for the Green Bay Packers has to be Super Bowl or bust. Or at least, at the very minimum, back of the NFC Championship game. They have to win the North. They have to get a home playoff game. They got to win some playoff games. And hopefully you're healthier than you were, especially when you're, in terms of your best players, than you were a year ago. If Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, Tucker Kraft, Zach Tom, those guys stay healthy, and hopefully Christian Watson and Jaden Reed, like if those guys are healthy, the expectation doesn't change then. Injuries are a part of the sport. The Packers caught a really bad break in terms of injury last year. It was some of their most productive best players. So the hope is you don't have to experience that again. Jordan Love is another season under his belt, and I thought he was awesome last year for the most part. So that's the expectation with Green Bay. It has to be. It's Super Bowl or bust in 2026. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That has to be the expectation. And I think Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst know that. That's what they were talking about while drinking wine and bourbon at the Kohler Lodge when they all came to the agreement that they'll be back in 2026. It's no more seven seeds. It's no more barely scooting into the postseason. It's win the division and get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so the way I look at this is how much I want us to win the NFC North. I think the one thing that you said, what matters the most to me, is not just winning the NFC North. It is more so we need to be back in the NFC Championship game.
Sure.
Like that right there to me.
But you got to win some playoff games is ultimately the point.
No. And so my thing is I understand, and you know, the journey to get there, you never know what it looks like. Like you look at the Rams last year, the Rams ended up winning 12 games, 13 games, something like that. I think it was 12 during the regular season. But they ended up making it to the NFC Championship game, right? I wouldn't say that season was a complete failure. I would say they definitely didn't get to their goal. But when I look at it, if the Packers had a season that the Rams had last year, I would be happy. I would be like, okay, we didn't get where we wanted to, but this is a step in the right direction. And so for me, overall, if the Lions end up destroying their schedule, winning 14 games next year, and the Packers win 12 or 13 games, I can't get mad about that. But it is about, regardless of what you do in the NFC North, how that race ends up, you got to be back in the NFC Championship game. That has to be the floor. It has to be the floor because we cannot – you've already been to divisional round. You've already been to the wild card. We got to get somewhere different. And it has to start this year because at this point now, if you don't make it this year, the clock ticks faster and faster and faster. So now it's time to put up or shut up.
I agree with you on that. Appreciate all your input on the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776. Liz is more with our friends at Carbless. Tony chimes back in and says he hit the nail on the head. That playoff loss to Chicago was unacceptable regardless of injury. The same is true as all the playoff losses to San Francisco and Tampa Bay with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. Three unacceptable playoff losses. Matt LaFleur has to be more clutch. I can agree with that. I think even if I am a believer and a big fan of Matt LaFleur, I think both sides of wherever you land on this Matt LaFleur argument can agree on that. Has to be better. Has to be. 2025 specifically was a rough year for Matt LaFleur. Because you can think of several games that should have gone the other way. The caller earlier, Gary, the semi-truck driver, brought up the Dallas game where your clock management, you don't understand the situation in overtime, you ultimately ends up in a tie. Unacceptable. The following week, there was the Cleveland Browns loss, one that I viewed as an easy win when we talked about that schedule, and they blow it in the fourth quarter. I do struggle with the one in Chicago, the regular season loss. because Jordan Love exited that game, and I don't think they ever lose if he's healthy that game. I don't know what it was, a dirty hit. And Malik was fine, but it's just you had a bad fumble by Josh Jacobs, all sorts of things in that game. You should have won that game. You didn't, but it is what it is. Sometimes that, like, if you have one of those in a season, okay, it happens. But I think there were three, four, five games last season. Denver's another one, but again, Micah Parsons goes down with an injury. If you want to use that as the excuse, Christian Watson goes down with an injury.
I was on cloud 1,000 when Josh Jacobs caught that touchdown pass.
That was a sick catch, too.
I was celebrating.
That was a sick catch.
I was like, here we go.
Obviously, the Chicago loss in the postseason, unacceptable. So there was a lot of those last year, and that's why I continue to say I just don't think Matt LaFleur had his best year in 25. I think he's a better coach than what we saw last year. So yeah, he's got to be more clutch. No argument for me on that. I still believe in him as the Packers head coach. All right, Craig Karmazin, off today, but never done telling you about how you should elevate your jump shot like he does with a home court from Precision Sports.
Hey, it's Craig Karmazin. When I think about the most important moments of my life, being born, having a bar mitzvah, having a kid, none of them compare to getting my first basketball hoop. And I've done it multiple times with Precision Sports. They are the experts. They know ball, and they are the ones who can do it. So if you're going to make that life-changing, memorable decision, you're going to put up that hoop, you're going to put up that court, you're going to get the lines done, however you want to do it in the right way with the best. The way I did it, precisionsportsonline.com for a free quote. That's Precision Sports Online, and your jumper is going to be as good as mine in no time.
Thanks, Craig. Coming up next, we talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. They've won three in a row, but injuries continue to bite them. Will Jackson Churio return tomorrow? Who knows? Will Andrew Vaughn return tomorrow? Yes is the answer on that, it sounds like. But pitching, it's good, but the injuries aren't. We talk Milwaukee Brewers baseball coming up next on Sunday Karma.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yes, it is. He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Alex Stroff with you until noon this morning on ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us. We really do appreciate you hanging out and listening to us buffoons. Discuss all things Wisconsin sports. Fun Matt LaFleur conversation. Appreciate all of those, all of you who chimed in on that. One way or another, we can disagree. We're all Packers fans at the end of the day. And we're hoping ultimately, I think we're, even if you think I'm wrong, you're hoping I'm right. And Matt LaFleur is capable of winning a Super Bowl in Green Bay. And hopefully it's this year. But we'll all find out together. I do want to pivot, though, over to the Milwaukee Brewers, who have won three in a row. Despite the previous two games, their pitchers leaving early. Brandon Woodruff on Thursday, Jacob Mizorowski on Friday. Seems like Mizorowski will be fine, but he was pitching unbelievable on Friday night. Had a no-hitter into the sixth inning and then left with what is believed just to be cramps, but of course you're going to be precautionary. Take every precautionary measure in the month of May when it comes to your opening day starter. So a 13-1 win on Wednesday, a 6-1 win on Thursday. A 13-1 win Thursday, a 6-1 win Friday, a 4-1 win yesterday. William Contreras has had four hits in each of the last two games. He is on one right now. One of the best catchers in baseball and probably the best brewer. He is exceptional and playing really well right now. And he's pitched,
great not to have a hand injury, right?
Yeah, right. And he's caught each of the last seven games in full. He hasn't taken a day off from behind the dish in a week. So props to William Contreras and the heater he's been on. But I guess when it comes to the injuries, obviously, Andrew Vaughn and Jackson Churio opened the season. Well, I guess Andrew Vaughn played opening day. Jackson Churio did not. They are both hoping to return tomorrow. But Kyle mentioned it earlier. Churio may have a setback maybe later in the week. But Andrew Vaughn still on pace to rejoin the Brewers tomorrow for the first time since opening day. So that is the hope for them. Jacob Mizorowski listed his day-to-day. He should be okay. When it comes to exiting a start. But the Brewers seemingly getting it back together here. 18-14 now on the season. Four games over 500. They are just playing in the most competitive division in baseball where all five teams are over 500. That is the only division in baseball in which that is the case. The Brewers, 18-14. They would have the fourth best record in all of the American League. They would be in first place of the AL West. They are in fourth place of the NL Central at 18-14. Cubs, 21-12. Cardinals and Reds are both 20-13. As I mentioned, Brewers 18-14. And Pirates also have 18 wins. They've just played more games. They're 18-16. on the season. How are you feeling about the Brewers? We're a little over 30 games in, Kyle. Do you feel good about where this team is at, given that, you know, they've survived, they've stayed afloat despite having all these injuries that they've dealt with, whether that be to the Quinn Priesters and the Jackson Chourios and the Andrew Vaughns of the world? They're now going to have to likely deal without Brandon Woodruff. But you feeling okay? I mean, the goal was pretty much stay afloat, stay above water, and they've done that.
No, I feel really great because it's all about who's developing, right? Like, looking at a Kyle Harrison, that's the type of guy that I want to see continue to develop. I want to see a Brandon Sproat develop. I'm excited for Logan Henderson to be able to come up here because, again, it's still early in the season, and something that we have seen with this Milwaukee Brewers team, they've gotten better as the season has gone on under Pat Murphy, and they've been able to learn, they know how to finish out seasons. And so right now, the fact that they're staying above water before even having to play most of the other NL Central teams, I feel great about it. Again, it's all about developing guys. I don't believe they're going to win a World Series this year, but how can they build for the future? How can guys get ready for the future? The Brewers, to me right now, when you look at Chad Patrick, you look at Kyle, and you look at Jacob Mizorowski, those are going to be three guys guaranteed part of your staff moving forward. Mm-hmm. And they're all pitching well this year, right? And so that's what I'm all about right now is early on, how these guys develop, and then eventually, right, when we get guys healthy, when we get guys back, you're missing Christian Yelich, you just talked about Vaughn, you're missing Chourio. When those guys do come back, well, you know, you're going to be, you know, finding your rhythm, doing well. So right now, the fact that the Brewers are playing as well as they are, over 500, I'm happy. Like, I really am confident right now with this team. Now, if we get to July and we're only like four games above 500, then I'd be a little bit more concerned, right? They're like, okay, we're playing more 500 baseball. But at this point right now, I feel really good where the Brewers are at because they're going to get on a heater. Like, they're going to go and the Brewers are going to have a two-week stretch where they're going to go 10-4. They're going to separate themselves. And then they're going to play more consistent ball where you're not going to see them lose six games in a row like that, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Because that was the first time they've lost six games in a row like that under Pat Murphy, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, so it's unusual.
Yeah, it is. But, hey, back on track. And by the way, apparently yesterday's game is just deleted from my memory. William Contreras did take the day off yesterday. He didn't take the day off. He DH'd. But Gary Sanchez caught yesterday. His four-hit games were Friday and Thursday. So yesterday, just a blip in the radar for me. I'm all thrown off. It's been a weekend, but...
Either I'm resting or I'm going to some event or I'm working. Legitimately.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
I mean, I saved a man's life on Friday night.
You just couldn't hold it, huh?
Well,
I want to hear this story with Ben Bruss because I want him and I to be able to be the ones to actually say whether or not you saved a life. Because when you say you saved a man's life,
I jumped into action. I felt like Superman.
Okay, so that means you were doing CPR. You kissed a man. You had to. You saved his life, so that means you were doing chest compressions.
I almost did CPR. I did not get to that point. Luckily, he was able to wake up.
Okay.
But I was on a knee.
Did you administer something to help him wake up?
Just a loud voice.
Okay. Yeah, we gonna break this down on Kyle and Bruss tomorrow. I can't wait.
Okay, that sounds good. But I cannot wait. Just know I am Milwaukee's superhero. Maybe number two behind Torrey Lowe.
Yeah,
from 101.7 The Truth. But
that's crazy. I'm Alex Strofe. If you were looking me in my eyes, I saw death. I would say just give me death.
Also, I appreciate Teddy who's chiming in on the Carbless text line about my father's high school.
Washington High School.
That's correct. So they didn't close the school district, Two River School District, which they did not, but they did close the high school. They tore it down, built a new one. Based on the likely age of Strofstad, four varsity letters and a conference championship at that school would have been very legitimate.
Okay.
That's what Teddy said.
Okay, cool.
But apparently everything I say you just don't believe.
No. I specifically said I'm not going to question your daddy.
You know what the best two words in sports are? Game 7. Come on, you know that. They say that. The best two words in sports are game 7. You agree with me, right?
Sure.
You've heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
There it is.
We've got our Palermo's picks coming up next. Game 7 in the NBA. As the NBA playoffs continue to heat up, but I'm also curious if Kyle or you are watching the NBA playoffs. Are people in on the NBA playoffs or not so much? We'll dive into game 7 coming up, which you'll be able to hear on ESPN Wisconsin, and our Palermo's picks, which are all next on Sunday Karma.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, no better way to watch Game 7 on a Sunday than with Palermo's. And right now at Piggly Wiggly, Connie's Thin Crust, $4.99 through May 5th. That's Tuesday. Don't wait. Piggly Wiggly, Connie's Thin Crust, just $4.99 at your local Piggly Wiggly. Connie is pizzeria flavors without the pizzeria prices. Only $4.99 at Piggly Wiggly. Connie's perfect for busy weeknights, game night, or family dinner. Sale through May 5th. Grab your favorites while supplies last. Only at Piggly Wiggly with Connie's Thin Crust Pizza. All right, Kyle, let's see if you brushed up on your cliches, which I am so good at. The best two words in sports.
Game 7, according to you.
And we've got two of them today in the NBA. Coming up at 2:30 tip time, 2 o'clock start on ESPN Wisconsin. It is the Magic and the Pistons.
Woo, poor Magic. I tell you, they had
it. Did you watch that game on Friday night?
No, I did not, but I saw
the Pistons were down 24 points. And they came back and won on the road in Orlando in Game 6. The series returns to Detroit today as Cade Cunningham looks to punch his ticket to the second round in the NBA playoffs. The
Didn't
Pistons,
we do some playoff game last year on Sunday, Carmel?
Yeah, well,
points.
Here's the issue. We have not had all four of us together since the NBA playoffs have begun.
Bucks get put out, and all of a sudden Craig is all over the world, and Craig is all over the world.
Yep. So, although rumor has it, Craig will return next Sunday.
He forgot his Mother's Day, so we'll see.
Okay.
We shall see.
Fair enough. Oh, it's Mother's Day next Sunday.
Yeah.
I think I'll still be here, but I'm not positive on that.
Here we go. Going to be another Kyle Sunday.
You're working, and then you go see Mom after?
Yep, we already got reservations.
What time's the reservation at?
12. Well, I don't know who's listening. It's 12:30, but we tell others 12:15.
Oh, okay, sure.
So they're not late. But I tell people I'm going to hanging out at Pato.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good spot for that. Great food
over
there.
Great spot.
Hey, so, okay, so have you watched any of the NBA playoffs? Have you sat down and turned on a game?
Yes, I have. I have watched a little bit of it. When my team's out, I don't really care, but I will say this. Some of the stuff I have watched has been really good. Really good. I love the T-Wolves right now.
Yeah, I do too. They're fun. They take on the Spurs. Their series will start tomorrow.
Man.
As will Knicks and Sixers, as the Sixers get it done yesterday in a thrilling game against the Celtics. So Knicks Sixers tomorrow, which brings back the Cat and Embiid beef. Have you read about that at all?
Yeah, okay. Fill me in.
So back in 2019, those two had like a crazy beef. They were tweeting about each other, posting Instagram about each other, calling each other bees online.
Damn, that's crazy.
So this is like a deep-rooted beef between Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid, who naturally will be matched up with each other for the series.
Yeah.
That starts tomorrow night.
At what point will Joel break down? By the finals, if the Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't think they're getting that far. I think the Knicks are better than them. But we will see.
Who, like... So you're telling me it's either going to be the Sixers, the Knicks, the Raptors?
Well, yeah. The two winners of today's game sevens will play each other. So it's Pistons, Magic, Cavs, Raptors.
Pistons or Magic. Like those are the teams that are going to be going to the finals.
Yeah. So let's just go with the favorites today and say it's these four. So it's between the Pistons, the Cavaliers, the Knicks, and the Sixers. Those are your four options in the Eastern Conference.
That's crazy.
The Western Conference, of course, Oklahoma City's looking to repeat after winning the title last year. They take on the Lakers, who have been very fun.
Yeah.
You talk about Houston, we have a problem.
Rockets
were not good in that series.
Yeah, they're too young. They're babies. They're too young. LeBron, they got beat by LeBron James.
LeBron can still put the team on his back, man.
Yeah, no. Hey, I mean,
and now they've got Austin Reeves back in the fold.
Did you see game two or three of that series? I think it was game two of that series where the Rockets choked.
Yeah.
We choked. Yeah. We choked. Those guys are just choking. They're just too young. But this right here should be not so much for the future with Giannis, but for all Bucks fans who are concerned about how long the rebuild is going to take, look at the teams that have a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Granted, again, Jason Tatum was out yesterday. But, like, dude, like the East is going to be open 4 years from now. None of these guys scare me. Like, if you get all these picks, boatload of picks for Giannis, you can't rebuild something? Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
The Bucks can be back 5 years from now if they do it the right way. They draft the right way.
Yeah, Luka Doncic is still dealing with that hamstring injury, by the way, so his status up in the air for the second-round matchup with the Thunder. They could certainly use him. All right, two game sevens. First up, Pistons Magic. The Pistons crawling back into the series in epic fashion. I've got them in game seven to move on to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
I want to go with the Magic so bad, but I feel like what happened to you, I don't believe that team is good enough throughout this season to be able to recover from that. And at home, I do think the Pistons get it done.
Cavaliers and Raptors has been an epic series.
Boy, I tell you, what a shot.
And an epic conclusion tonight. That game on NBC and Peacock at 6:30 tonight. Game 7 is in Cleveland. Who do you got?
Oh, come on now. You know, this one's probably the easiest one for me.
Why is that?
Cleveland.
Why is that easy for you?
I'm just saying. I feel like Cleveland just has the better team, better players.
I also think they have the better team and better players, but I'm actually going to take the Raptors in this one. I just feel like they have their number for whatever reason. RJ Barrett has really grown into his own in Toronto.
How is it possible that the Raptors are back now and the Bucks are out the playoffs? We both were in the same spot a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's the life cycle in the NBA, buddy. Enjoy game sevens. Enjoy some Palermo's pizza. Those are our Palermo's picks for this Sunday. Craig is back with you next Sunday, maybe. Kyle will be here. I think I'll be here. Maybe Scals is here, maybe not. I guess I don't really know on Mother's Day, but we will have a show next Sunday. We know that at least.
Don't speak too soon.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for hanging with us on this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to noon. Thanks to Jason Wilding for jumping in with us. Appreciate everybody jumping in with their Matt LaFleur thoughts. We'll be back with you next Sunday. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.